church that I grew up in was a cessationist Baptist church, which, can you put up the definition of cessationism right there? You guys didn't know you're getting a little theology download tonight. It's the one with the red bar. Boom. Cessationism. So this is kind of a camp within different theological beliefs about the Holy Spirit, which is basically a belief that God ceased speaking to or moving through individual people when the Bible was completed. So it's like, okay, well, the last book, Revelation is like written, boom, period. Now God's kind of done speaking and moving through us in the ways that he did before. Now, there are people that like love Jesus, that I honor and respect, that actually like hold this view. So this isn't like a, are you in or out of like Christian orthodoxy? But this is kind of like a perspective that you can find within the Christian church, that the Holy Spirit did cool things in the Bible, but now he doesn't do that anymore. And for me in my life, in my theological understanding, I actually don't see any warrant within the Bible itself for this kind of theology. The kind of theology that we kind of swim in here in this crew is a perspective called continuationism. Can you go to that next one? Continuationism is the belief that God continues to speak and move through individual people in alignment with the truth of Scripture, okay? So nothing that God says is gonna contradict what was written in Scripture. He doesn't do that, but God continues his active work in the world today. That's kind of the perspective that we hold on to and that we're kind of diving into here. But you might be asking like, okay, that sounds great, but like, what does that look like? Because when we say hearing God, that could sound like a million different things to a million different people. Like, what are we talking about? And the really, really cool thing is that when you get into the Bible, it is about as diverse as you can imagine the way that God speaks to people. It's not actually just one for one equals that. And if you don't have this exact experience of God, you're out of the picture. We actually see that it is broad, diverse, and beautiful. Can you put that next slide up? The next one. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Boom, this one. So in all of these different parts of the Bible, we see God speaking in unique ways and people actually receiving his revelation in unique ways. If you read the book of Genesis and you see how God moves and he creates all things. And then also if you turn to Romans chapter 1, it says that the attributes of God have been clearly seen on the earth through what he has made. Maybe you're here in the room and you, like when you are on a hike, or you just get out into nature, you get out into Central Park, you walk out of your front door and that light hits your face. Like there's just something in you that is drawn up into worship of God. God speaks through his creation, what he's made. In the book of Exodus, Moses is walking around in the wilderness. He's like the shepherd guy. And you guys, how many of you have heard of the burning bush moment with Moses? Is this like a common thing that people know about? Okay. The crazy thing about this story though, is that Moses could have missed the burning bush. He could have totally missed it. There's this really unique detail in the account. This is Exodus chapter 3, if you guys want to check this out. It says, when Moses turned to look, when Moses noticed that the bush was on fire, then the Lord spoke to him through the bush. So there's this like unexpected noticing that happens in Moses' life. And I don't know about you, but like you could be a person that like stuff kind of like catches you out of nowhere. Maybe it's like an interaction that you see happening on the subway. Maybe it's like an advertisement that you see. And it's like there's something about it that like shouldn't hold your attention as much as it is. Maybe some of you are like you know, like squirrel, like boo, right? And there's like all these different ways that the Lord wires your mind. There could actually be something in you noticing things in an unexpected way that God's trying to speak to you and get your attention. Moses, it says that he speaks with God in Exodus chapter 33, face to face, like he speaks with a friend. And do you guys remember Ashley Hebert? She leads our prayer ministry. She was up here speaking a few months ago, and she was like, I've just always felt like God was my friend. Like I had this intimate relationship with him. So that could be you. Anna Rose up here just read the story of Elijah, where Elijah's like, God, I want to hear you. God, I want to hear you. And then he sees this like massive earthquake. It says God isn't in the earthquake. And he feels this like fire, this like sweeping wildfire over his face, over the land. He's like, it says God wasn't even in that. And then it says that there was this like stillness. There was this whisper that came to him. And he said that the Lord was actually speaking through that. So for some of you, maybe you're expecting that God would speak to you with like this booming audible voice of this earthquake or fire. And he's like, come to me in the stillness. Like, get away from distraction because I have something for you. Maybe that's you. The prophets, oh my gosh, the prophets are these beautiful people in the Bible that bring the words of God to the kings, to the nation of Israel. So that's hearing from God through people. Next is the Psalms, especially in Psalm 119. The written word, like the scripture, and Sylvia was talking about this in pre-gathering prayer, that the very words of God through the scripture would like jump off of the page and hit you in your heart and hit you in your life. Psalm 119 says that I delight, my soul delights in the law of the Lord. I meditate on it day and night. Maybe it's the word. Proverbs is a book that brings wisdom. Like, maybe it's just like common sense and wisdom that you receive, either from a word of wisdom or someone speaking into your life or something that God just makes things kind of clear when it's ambiguous and fuzzy. Jonah, God speaks to him through circumstances of his life, basically trying to get his attention. Jesus would wake up early in the morning, he said, and go off to a desolate place, a wilderness place to seek God. Shout out the morning people in the room. And last, the Apostle John, when he is on the island of Patmos, he's basically in this like refugee prison work camp thing for Rome. And he gets the vision, like a picture, like 3D experiential vision of the throne room of God that is the book of Revelation. And he's like this very visual person. So he's seeing things and experiencing them kind of like a short movie playing in his mind. So I don't know how God speaks to you, but just through this, like God, and that's like just scratching the surface. The scriptures are so full of so many different ways that God speaks. And so what I want to do tonight is I'm going to invite up the panel. Can we get the panel up to grab your seat? Let's go, panel. Let's go, panel. Let's go, panel. So good. All right, and to get us started on the panel, I'm actually gonna hand it off to Regan Griffith. And you guys, Regan and Ben just got off a plane from London, how many, like 2 hours ago? Hour and a half ago? 13 minutes ago? It was crazy. But they basically got off an international flight and booked it here to be with you guys, because they love you. So that's these two. Anyway. Okay. I'm going to hand it over to Regan, though. We just have a couple questions that we're going to ask our panelists. Let's do it.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, so as Keithan's saying, God speaks to all of us. He speaks in different ways. And we're just excited to hear from these panelists of how God's spoken to them, what that experience has been, maybe even some frustrations they've experienced that maybe will be things you guys relate to. But our first question is, what has your journey been like in discerning God's voice and hearing God's voice? Just like, let us into the journey for you. And I'm actually gonna start at this end. Can we start with you, Becca?
Thank you, that helps a lot. Cool, so my journey with God and with hearing the voice of God has been kind of all over the place, but basically, what I'm gonna share with you guys is that there was a long period of my life when I was like you guys' age, middle school, high school, and then a little bit after that as well, where I really only felt like I heard God's voice when he was like mad at me. Like if I just like wasn't doing a good job at like sin management, basically. So a lot of the time I thought that like he was just kind of always mad at me because that was the only time that I felt as though I heard him, which was a total lie. Actually, that was totally the voice of the enemy just like filling my mind with these lies. And I was just giving it more space because I didn't know what God's voice sounded like. So when I finally realized like, oh, I straight up just don't think I know like what the voice of God sounds like, I started reading through the Gospels and just like specifically Jesus's interactions with people. I was like, all right, I'll go straight to the source then. So I was like, where are those red letters at? Like, where is Jesus actually speaking and what does he sound like? So I would just like mull those over and I got like so stuck on the story of the woman at the well where Jesus like meets this Samaritan woman and just like knows everything about her. And she had like done some crazy stuff and he like called it out, but like in total love, and then proceeded to just like empower this woman who really like in the culture he shouldn't have been talking to anyway. So all that to say, I realized that Jesus's voice was like gentle, and it was actually like very, very patient. And even if he was like calling out something wrong that I did, it wasn't condemning, but it was convicting, and there was a difference in that. So that was kind of my journey of like understanding what the voice of God sounded like, and it's just been really, really freeing to like keep walking in that as I've grown in my faith. And now I feel like I hear him all the time, and it's really encouraging and cool.
So good. That is so important. Yes. Like, honestly, if all of you guys could walk away just with that, like that, learning to hear what the voice of God sounds like, that would be a win. Yeah, thank you. Jason.
Yeah, I think similar to Becca, I didn't have much of a, I don't know, like a way of thinking about how to hear God's voice. But I found a lot of just encountering through his word. And I think when I was reflecting on this question, I just thought about a recent encounter with his voice a few weeks ago. And I was telling Hudson about this last week, but I've just been in this posture of needing to find refuge in his presence. And my work is like 20 minutes from the prayer room. So I can sometimes sneak here for like the 12 p.m. set, like 20 minutes of the 12 p.m. set. And I was like, okay, I have 30 minutes before the 12 p.m. set, I can get there. And I'll be there for the set. I just want to be with the Lord. And the trains were not happening. And just like, Lord, you're testing my patience. Like, I want to be in your house. I just want to be in your house. So I like run across, take the red line instead, see if I can make it here. And just like hustling super late, super just annoyed and like really flustered. And I get here like run sprinting. And I make it here for just like 10 minutes. And I'm just kind of pissed. I'm like, I just want to be with you. Like, I just want to be with you, and I just can't even, I didn't get any worship. I just wanted worship of you. And then I just heard the Lord say, like, Jason, in an 8-hour workday, 5 minutes, better is 5 minutes in my house than an 8-hour workday with me. Wow. And it's the next day, I came in the morning, and I was, like, covering the host position, which is right in the front. And just thinking about that verse in Psalm 84, like, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And just like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit here and be your doorkeeper, Lord. Just pray over this entry space. Just pray that this is your house. I just get to be here with you. And that was that Wednesday where we had youth-led worship. And in the pre-gathering prayer, like, Hudson had this word just like, when I entered this house, I just felt like better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. And I think just the kindness of the Lord to say like that affirmation of like, yes, that what you heard is being spoken out by someone else. And that's like that affirmation that it's his voice.
Yeah. So good. Wow. There's like a couple things in there that I love. One is just God speaking to you in kind of the chaos of your day. And I think it's easy to feel like I'll only get to hear from God if I like get away and have this really long space in the morning or in the prayer room or whatever. And those are beautiful practices and part of learning of hearing from God. But I love that God also is like, I can also speak to you in the chaos and wants to speak to us in all of those situations. And then also just that God spoke to you through a passage of scripture that you knew, that just from you spending time in his word, knowing his word, he then uses his word to like speak deeply to the desires of your heart, which is really beautiful. Thank you, Jason. So good. Sydney.
Yeah, actually my story, I would just like, when you texted me the question about it, I was like trying to think of what I was going to say, and a story came to mind, and it actually kind of is very similar to what Keithan, you were saying about like wanting to hear from the Lord, but like really struggling with like drowning him out and like distractions and like, how are you going to hear from God if the noise around you is too loud? And I've always kind of struggled with like, okay, I don't feel like I'm like hearing verbally from the Lord, but I'm definitely someone that like, I love music, which is a good thing, an awesome thing, but I think it's a tactic that the enemy can use to drown out the voice of the Lord. And like, I definitely think it's like, it's not a bad thing at all, but for me, that was kind of where I like used to escape like any thoughts I was having, and then in turn found that that was a way that the enemy was using. Any small moment I had, I was like in my headphones, not hearing from the Lord. Anyway, so I'm gonna try to keep this story short, but I was in Mass Market like a couple weeks ago. The spirit is strong in Mass Market. but it was like a random day where I like didn't have my headphones in, which was like unusual for me, but they were playing jazz music in there, so I was like, I'll take advantage of it. And I like kind of, I was like doing some work, was kind of focused, but I like kept like tuning into these people's conversation behind me. And they had mentioned, all I really heard was like that they were talking about like translations of scripture. And I wasn't sure if it was like in a positive sense or like a negative sense that they were, you know, condemning scripture or whatever. But I just like kept tuning in to like that, not really hearing what the conversation was, but I was like, I'm just gonna focus on my work. I had a lot to do. I had a deadline for a project I was working on, and I had a meeting coming up. But I like, for some reason, like could not stop like hearing that conversation. But I was like, I have to go. I have this meeting I have to get to. I closed my laptop. I walked out the street, like walked down the street. I'm like 2 blocks away. I'm literally like 2 blocks away. And I'm like, literally, I'm like arguing with God. He's like, you need to go back and talk to those people. And I'm like, no, I'm 2 blocks away. The barista saw me leave. Like, this is awkward. And I was like, I had this moment where I was like, if I'm like wrestling with this voice in my mind, like that is totally like the conviction of the spirit. And like my last final defense was, I was like, I have this meeting to get to. And I like literally get a notification on my phone that the meeting gets pushed 30 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I turn around, I'm like, walk my booty back 2 blocks, go back inside. And I like chickened out. Like again for like the fifth time, and I like go to the bathroom first because I like maybe I'm like, that's a good cover up, and then I come back out from the bathroom and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do it. So I like go over to them and I was like, hey guys, like I promise I'm not creepy, I'm not weird, I swear, like I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I just like, I literally was so honest with them. I was like, I left and like was 2 blocks down the street and like just felt a calling to come back and talk to you guys. And I was like, I don't know why I feel like the call to invite y'all to my church. Like I go to this awesome church called Church of the City down the street. And like, I don't know where y'all are at in your faith, if you're believers or not, but the girl sitting there, she was just like wide eyed at me. She was like, I literally have been in the city for 2.5 years and I've never felt a church, like found a church that I felt comfortable going on my own to. Like, so she hadn't been to an in-person church since being in New York and for 2 years. And she was like, this is such an answer to prayer. Like, I guess the guy she was getting coffee with, like, was a new believer as well, but going to church downtown that he also didn't really enjoy. So I was like, well, I'd love to like invite y'all to church with me, like whatever. And anyway, we like start getting into this super big, the guy like asked me, he's like, what's your walk with faith been? I like pull up a chair. I end up talking with them for like the 30 minutes until my meeting. And I'm like telling them, this is like the cherry on top of the whole conversation. I'm like telling them about Church of the City. I'm like, it's just such a, she was saying like she had some church hurt in the past. And I was like, it's such a warm environment. There was like so many incredible people, like the community is my favorite aspect of Church of the City. And I'm like, as I'm explaining it, like Amara walks in. Like, it was, like, insane. Yeah. Enter stage left, Amara walks in. And it was just, like, such a cool moment that God was like, I see you. You don't have to, like, even do the explaining. Like I'm just going to, like, enter in and, like, do it for you. Which is so cool because it's, like, such a testament to, like, all you have to do is take the first step. And then, like, it's not even, like, things you say. Like, I walked up and I'm, like, sweating. I'm, like, I don't know what I'm, like, stumbling over my words, you know. But it's, like, yeah, anyway, the girl ended up coming to church with me that Sunday. And, like, I followed up with her actually a couple days ago and just seeing, like, how her journey with faith has been. And also the final, like, she literally lived on 57th Street. I was, like, that's crazy. Yeah, so just, like, so many cool things. Sorry, that was a little long, but, yeah.
So cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that is so good. I love that it started with you just, like, making space and not having your headphones in. Like, it is so easy to just basically, like, eyes on the prize, go, 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 headphones in, like, just literally going day after day with, if God wanted to talk to us, he couldn't. Like, so cool. Ben.
Yeah, so I think similar to Keithan, I grew up in a church that was, like, theologically sort of believe, I don't know if they called themselves cessationists or not, but they just kind of believe that God stopped talking the way that he talked to people in the New Testament. That didn't really make sense to me because we talked about, like, the unchanging nature of God and then in the same breath said, and then he stopped talking to us. Like, it just didn't make sense. And then, like, the God of the universe would stop, like, doesn't want to talk to us. Like, he's this great God that, like, sent us his son and wants a relationship with us, but also, like, is going to just give us a silent treatment for, like, thousands of years after this, like, key moment of history. It didn't make sense, but they had a very high, to the credit of the church that I grew up in, very high view of Scripture and believe that God did speak to us just only through Scripture, like, exclusively and solely through Scripture. And I think that's, like, there's really good stuff there, right? And I've learned that over time, but came into, like, this church background, this church area, where so many people just authoritatively say, like, God said to me, the word of the Lord came to me and said this, I have a word from God for you. I just heard God say to me, I heard God whisper to me, and, like, this was, like, overload for me. I was like, what are people even talking about? Like, this is not my experience at all, that, like, God is saying things to me or whispering to me. And it's very common for me to, I don't know if you, any of you relate to this, to feel like something's wrong with me. And this was, like, very much something that made me feel like something was wrong with me. Here I was, like, a Christian who'd grown up in a Christian home in my 20s. And, like, I never hear the word of God, and everyone around me is talking about how, like, God's spoke to me and God said this, right? That's, like, incredibly, like, disorienting and difficult to figure out, like, what does this mean? But thankfully, like, God put somebody in my life who, like, has experienced hearing from God and is willing to, like, walk with me in my grayness and my doubt. And what has happened is, I think Reagan has, like, shown me kind of after the fact ways in which God speaks to me. Sometimes I don't even know that God is the one talking to me, and that, like, a thought that I have that feels, like, organic is actually from God. And the reason I think this is, like, theologically consistent and fair and, like, good, okay to say, is that the Scriptures are full of references saying that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The fullness of God in the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so I actually think it's important to, like, demystify the Spirit a little bit. Like, the word itself has this, like, innate connotation that it's, like, this mystical, mysterious, floaty, windy thing. And some of that is, like, true and good, and there is some mystery to it. But I also think that, like, if the Spirit of God dwells in us, then it's worth sort of demystifying what that might feel or look like. And it's not going to be, like, always necessarily this booming voice from heaven speaking in perfect English to you, right? Sometimes for me, it's like, I was sharing with the leaders on a retreat recently that God speaks to me in very unique ways that are just kind of like, now that I've like kind of been in practice with it, unmistakably God. He speaks to me through creation. Keithan was talking about that a little bit, and music and math, as Anna Rose mentioned. And it's like these, I think that, you know, in like literature or in movies, when there's like a motif, you guys know what a motif is? It's like a repeated color or like a symbol. Like I think of like the top in Inception, or like that little totem or whatever it was called, or Steinbeck uses color a lot, and Dostoevsky uses like feet to talk about like, you know, different things that symbolize different things. I feel like God has planted motifs all over the world and all over our relationships. And like Keithan was talking about, if we notice them, God has something to say to us through motifs. And so I feel like a huge way that God speaks to me is like the motifs that he's planted in my relationships, in like creation, so on and so forth. So,
yeah. So good. Yeah, I think that it's like, it's been really inspiring for me to get to watch Ben like experience doubt with this and feel the sense of like, is something wrong with me? Like, why doesn't God speak to me the way he seems to other people? And I think like what's encouraged me from Ben that I would like love to be imparted to you guys is just this patience and this willingness to be like, I know that God is who he says he is, so I'm just going to keep coming back, and I'm going to keep asking God to speak to me, and I'm going to keep waiting on, like, how is it that God's going to speak to me? So if you're in a time of just, like, discouragement or feeling like maybe God doesn't speak to me, like, I'd encourage you to talk to Ben, because I think he like, really can encourage us in those places where it's, like, frustrating to just, like, continue to come to God believing that he is who he says he is. Yeah, thank you guys. The last question I just want to hear from you that will just be a bit like rapid fire, but is just what is something that you love about how God speaks to you specifically? And we can start with you, Ben, and go back. But you kind of talked on a little bit. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the uniqueness of it, like that it's almost like there are hidden things that God has to say to me, and they feel so like unmistakably him, because it's like, no one would get that about me. I'm also like the type of person who thinks often that something's wrong with me, but also thinks like no one gets me. Like, I don't know if any of you relate to that. I'm like, no one gets me. And then I'm like sitting at the piano, like playing this chord. And it's like, I'm just like articulating something that God actually created. And the piano is just a human, like, in like discovery of what God has already like created. And I'm like weeping at like the beauty of this like chord progression or whatever. Maybe it's like some math thing or whatever. And it's just like, only God could do this, right? And so I love that he knows my name. And I experience that through the way that he talks to me. And I really just want to say, and then I'll hand it to Sydney, that I do believe that God has that for you. And I just encourage you to be like patient with him and continue to ask him for it. But I believe that like God has and wants you to experience the feeling of being known by him, that he knows your name.
I feel like I love the way that the Lord kind of like has irony with how he speaks to me. Like a lot of things are like coincidental, but they're like I went to a different coffee shop that was closed before I went to Mass, and I was like, oh, I wanted to get this other coffee, but like it's cool how like the Lord brought you there. Like, and I'm a planner by nature, and like a lot of my like most amazing moments in my life are like because things didn't happen one way, and like the Lord just like weaved it through another way, like how he spoke to me. So I think it's cool the irony the Lord has sometimes when he speaks. I don't hear like verbally, I don't like hear like vocal that often from him. But I think in ways that he like weaves things together is really, in ironic ways, it's just really cool to experience.
I think something I think about is what Pastor Sam says of like, the voice of the Lord is kinder than we think it is, and just how he reveals himself to be so kind to me. And in reading his word, I found that I hear his voice most clearly when it's not for me or when it's something I can share with someone else. Wow. And I think, like, you know, wanting to share that with Hudson was because something that Hudson had shared with us was like he wanted to hear the Lord's voice. And like to be able to use that as like an encouragement onto him was like, to be a steward, it's like what Keithan was saying, like the gifts are for us to give, like to be a facilitate the Spirit moving. And I think that his kindness through that has been really from me.
Yeah, there's like a million things that I love, like just hearing everybody, my heart is like exploding right now because I'm just like, oh, I love that too. Oh, I love that too. But I think the thing that I love the most is that like he speaks to me, like that he would, I mean, he's omnipotent, so he's everywhere always, but like I look at him and I'm like, you're taking time out of your day. I mean, he's everywhere all the time, you know? But it's just the way that I see it is like, he would take time out of his busy schedule to direct my attention to something that like probably somebody else doesn't care about, but I care about, and that's just really cool. And that he would just like choose to speak to me. I'm like, little old me, God? This whole thing? Like, it just seems crazy that he like wants to speak to me. Like, I don't even want to speak to me sometimes, but he wants to speak to me, and that's just, like, the only word that I can think of is it's just, it's so sweet. And that's just, like, the perfect way to describe it. Like, his words are sweet. The way he wants to spend time with me is sweet. Like, tasting, but also just, like, that's so sweet, you know? It's, I don't know how to else to explain that. It's just, like, this all-encompassing sweetness. But yeah, and I love that like he speaks to me a lot through nature and through creation, and he's consistent. That's another thing that I like about how he speaks to me. Like he's consistent in, I love a good like setup payoff situation, and like I'll always complain if there's not like a good payoff from a setup in like a show or a movie. Or like good foreshadowing, I don't know, I'm weird. And I love that kind of stuff, but he does that to me because I get it and because I enjoy it, like math for Ben. Like he does it very cinematically for me because I love cinema. So I notice like the little birds tossing around in the dirt and I'm like, oh my God, they're so cute and God made them. Like the little birds. And yeah, it gets me. But he, again, with just, like, the consistency of it, ever since I was, like, fairly young, and I would, like, go outside, I would always just, like, notice, like, a deep, breezy moment and feel like that was God being, like, I'm here, kind of, like, in an Aslan, like, breathing and being, like, I'm here kind of sense, but, like, God and with the wind. I don't know if that makes sense at all. Anyways... but he still does that to me is what I'm getting at, is like the way that I would notice him in nature through like a deep wind and just like a good, beautiful, like warm gust of wind. He still does that. And every time I'm like transported back to being little and noticing him in that. And yeah, it's sweet. It's consistent. And it's like just for me. And that's cool. So yeah.
So good. Let's give it up for our panelists. Thank you, guys. So, so good. All right, I'm just going to wrap us up with just kind of the question of, set it down. Thank you. Of what's next? You know, hopefully you guys have heard these stories and it brings up in you like just a desire to hear from God. As they were all sharing, I was just reminded of, for me, like the beginning of learning to hear from God started with leaders like these leaders for me. When I was in like elementary school, middle school, high school, where I would hear my leaders talk about themselves hearing from God or my family members. And I just remember this sense of like, that's not my experience, but I want it to be. And it just started to give me this like desire to just draw closer, hear from God. So I just wanted to briefly talk about this question of just what now? Like you hear this, hopefully it leads you to desire to hear from God. How can you set yourself up if you feel like you don't hear from God yet? Like what can you do? And I just want to simply lay it out as I want to invite you guys to draw close to God, to ask for help, and then to test what you hear. To draw close to God, ask for help, and then test what you hear. I think this is on a slide. There somewhere. Yeah, draw close to God, ask for help, and then test what you hear. We can't expect to hear from anyone personally if we're not close to them, right? So, like, we might hear the words of our favorite, like, author or celebrity via their social media, but they're not actually speaking, like, directly to us, right? But when I, like, really know someone, when I come here and like, get to directly talk to Savvy or talk to Hannah, like, I get to hear directly from them, right? Because I'm in proximity to them. So we can't expect to hear from God without being in proximity to him. And then as we draw close to him, as we spend time with him, as we read his word, as we pray, we start to understand what his voice sounds like, which is like what Becca was saying, and Jason, both of them were just saying, like, learning to understand what the voice of God sounds like, which is so, so important. Because even just in Becca's story, this experience of actually being fooled, that what the enemy was speaking to her, who was shaming her, it, like, the enemy wanted her to believe that that was the voice of God. And as she got to know God better, she started to be like, okay, this isn't the voice of God. This is not what God sounds like. And as we spend time in his word, as we draw close to him, we start to know what he sounds like and be able to be like, that's not God. Or like, yes, that is what God sounds like. I remember one time Ben was over at the Grizzles' house helping decorate their Christmas tree. And I had like gone over, I was somewhere else. I don't even remember where I was now, but I had some conflict. I couldn't go with them to decorate their tree. And I'm coming back on the train from wherever I was. And I start getting these texts from Ben that were like, you need to come here now. You have to come. You cannot go home. Like, there was some, like, gross things about having some troubles in the bathroom that I will not repeat. But I see these texts, and I was like, this is not Ben. Like, the emojis that these texts have, like, the things that he's saying, like, there's just no way. I know my husband. This is not Ben. This has to be the work of Rachel, Abby, Anna Rose, and Caleb. And come to find out it was. They were texting me just trying to get me to come join them at this party. And it worked. I showed up. But because I knew Ben, because I spend so much time with Ben, I knew immediately this is not the voice of Ben. And I think that's what happens with God. When we spend more time with God, when we read his words, when we sit in his words every single day, we start to understand what his voice sounds like. We start to understand who he is. So draw close to God. And the number one way I can encourage you guys to do that is through his word. I do believe that God, like, more than any other way, speaks to us through his word. And he uses his word then to speak to us through other things, right? So even in Jason's story, right? He was speaking to Jason through certain circumstances, but he was using his words to do that. The words that Jason knew, because Jason spends time in the Bible. So draw close to God through spending time in his word, through praying, and then ask for help. The Holy Spirit is the empowering presence of God. And I think part of what the Holy Spirit does for us is reveals God to us, reveals God's words to us, reveals who God is to us. So I just start asking, and we'll have time to do it tonight. Just ask God, Holy Spirit, would you reveal God to me? Would you speak to me? Would you, if you have something you're confused about or frustrated about or need help with, like, bring it to God and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Come speak to me. So draw close to God, ask for help, and then test what you hear. And so the last just thing I'll leave you guys with is that as you start to just ask to hear the voice of God, as he starts to speak to you, you'll get better and better at discerning if it's God or if it's not God. You'll get better and better at discerning, like, this is maybe just my own thoughts, or this is really what God sounds like, or this is totally not God. This is probably from the enemy. And we're going to get into this mode of discernment even more next week when we talk about prophecy. But I'm just going to leave you guys with it tonight just to help you. And it's this A, B, C, D. So A is affirming, B is biblical, C is Christ-like, and D stands for double check. So A, B, C, and D. And this is just like a grid for us to use when we're wondering, like, is this from God or is this not from God? Is what I'm hearing God's voice or not God's voice? And affirming just is, it's about the tone of God. Is what I'm hearing in the same tone as how God speaks? When I see God speak in scripture, like Becca was saying, going through the gospels, just reading what Jesus says, like, is this the same tone as God? B is for biblical. So read God's word, get to know how he sounds, what he says. And if you hear something from God and or you think you do and it doesn't align with scripture, it's not from God. And then C is Christ-like. And I just want you to ask this question, will what you're hearing bring you closer to God and glorify him? Or will it pull you further away from him and like not glorify him? Because it is likely, like everything God speaks to you will bring you closer to him. So if it's gonna pull you away from him, if you think he's speaking something to you that's just gonna like draw you or draw other people away from God, it's not God's voice. And then lastly is double check, do other people affirm it? And I have these just written out as questions here on this next slide. Does it sound like Jesus? Is it in line with the Bible? Will it bring you closer to Jesus and glorify God? And do other people affirm it? And by other people, I mean not just like any person, but godly people in your life. So if you're wrestling with like, I think God's speaking this to me, but I'm not sure, grab your small group leader. Grab like a friend that you know is like knows the voice of God. Grab someone that you're like, this person knows God's voice, and like have them test it with you. So these are just some grids. So draw close to God, ask for help, and test the words that you hear. And these are just like some ways to even now, tonight, and I'd love to invite Luke to come back up. And we're just gonna go into a time of response.